This week on the Crew Flex, will my dad jump off a building? Canada's population booming more now than the boomer era. Is there a boys club in recruitment? Plus, dose of the real world for young people. Tier F with my dad and Shelly starts right now.
Welcome to the Recruitment Flex with Serge and Shelly. I'm Serge.
And I'm Shelly. And we talk all things recruitment starting right now.
Bonjour and welcome to the Recruitment Flex. Shelly, have you ever bungee jumped in your life?
No, I have not. And I don't think I ever would.
Have you ever skydived?
No, I have no idea why anybody would even want to do that. Like, it's a level of fear, not fear, but I don't get it. Why would you want to do that?
No, I agree with you. I would never jump off of a plane with a parachute. I would never jump off a plane. A parachute would be helpful, right? I'm not afraid of heights until I'm at high heights. Then I'm suddenly afraid of heights. The reason I'm bringing this up, I don't know if you saw on LinkedIn, I got nominated to jump from, I guess it's like the Vegas Tower. And it's the longest free jump in the world.
But who nominated you?
So Matt from OutHire, it's an HR tech company based in Australia, actually met them at the high roller pinball type of thing. We were the only ones there for a little while, so I got to know them well. Uh-huh. And I don't know what I said, but then suddenly I got nominated. And then I was going to nominate you till you told me there's no fucking way you would ever do that. So I'm not going to nominate you. I think I'm going to do it. I think so.
Really?
I think so. I'm like, hey, I have been really in the mantra of just do it, right?
I'll come as your moral support and I'll bring a change of underwear for you.
Please do. Yes. I'm telling you, I am going to be so scared. But here's the choice. If I had the choice to jump off that building, and I watched the video and it's very controlled coming down, so it seems less nerve-wracking, or singing karaoke again, I will jump off the building.
I'm with you on that. Someone got video of you and I trying to sing a Taylor Swift song.
There's video out there?
There is video out there. It was so bad. Oh my God.
No, I have nightmares about that. And that's one of the times that I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do it. Screw it. Right. Then deep regrets of doing it. So anyways, we're excited for Unleash coming up in May. And the Unleash CEO, Mark Coleman, is going to appear on our podcast in the coming month as well to give everyone the insights of what is Unleash. So excited for it. I'm not sure I'm excited for Vegas again. It's a lot of Vegas, but we'll deal with it.
It is. I agree.
Shelly, do we want to jump into the news?
Yes. Yes. Can I start the first one?
Yeah, please do.
I'm sure it's no surprise to anyone that lives in Canada, but Stats Canada just published the fact that the population growth in 2023 is the highest since 1957. Realize that what's happening is this is the new boomers.
Mm.
But super cool. Canada is officially over 40 million. 40,769,000 is our current population. And Alberta, our home province, leads the way in the highest population growth in 2023. Alberta had 4.3%. So no surprises.
What's your thoughts on this when it comes to the overall job market? Has it been positive? Is it negative?
It's obviously answered a huge call because we're not hearing the same sort of cries about can't hire anybody. What we are seeing is a higher number of applicants that may or may not be qualified, but that's nothing new. It's a recruiter's job to put out a good job ad that will attract the right people. So,
well, I might have a controversial thought about this. So we all agree we need immigration for the country to be able to replace the roles. Obviously, we're not having as many babies as we did during the boomers generation. It's completely different than the boomers because this was a baby boom, right? And this is an immigration boom, which The reality is reality. We're just not having enough kids, and we are growing older as a country, and we have a limited amount of people coming through the workforce. So we definitely need immigration. The flip side to it is the amount of immigration that we have done in the past 5 years will have repercussions. So, like, I just want to be clear on this. Immigration is great, but also control immigration and not overburdening the system with so many people coming up with no plan. We had zero plan. So what happens now in Canada? Our kids won't be able to afford houses. To give you an idea, since 2005, so looking at all the G7 countries, we had a 207% increase in housing, right? Since 2015, we've had a 74% increase in housing pricing. If you compare it to the other G7 countries, including the US, they're around 20 to 25%. You bring in millions, and we're talking, what, 2 million in a year. We have not kept up with housing supply that has caused a major challenge and has caused housing to just skyrocket, where our kids will never be able to afford a house. So great that our population has grown. Where I'm upset is we didn't create a plan, and people that are coming into the country, to your point, are taking a lot of jobs that needed to be filled. So I think that's great. But the flip side to it is they're struggling to find employment. I don't know if you've seen the job fairs in Ontario with thousands of people lined up. Do we have the jobs that they want, that they need, is still a challenge. Do we have the housing? These poor people are struggling finding housing. So I guess with every good things, there's many negative things. And I think this was not an issue in immigration. It's just poor planning, poor government. It's almost embarrassing how bad we have mishandled this. Now we're pulling everything back, right? If you saw the announcement for immigration in the next couple of years, temporary workers, everything is dramatically reduced. And then obviously with the changes with students, that's going to have a dramatic effect as well. It's going to help in the coming years for us to kind of stabilize. Anything to add to that? Do you agree? Am I wrong?
Oh, no. It's the facts, right? What I heard you say is less opinion and more just factual. There are these horrifying stories of new Canadians arriving and sitting in a cold gymnasium with children. Yeah. And that's the nightmare that we want to avoid. Nobody would intend to do that. But on the same token, showing up to a new country with no plan of where you're going to live. I don't know about you, Serge, but unless I'm fleeing a war zone,
yeah,
where the alternative is death. The other, in terms of immigration, where you've applied and you've been approved,
yeah,
that process is not done overnight.
No.
But to think that you're going to show up and not have a plan of where you're going to live. Refugees are a different story. And I think as a society, we've done extremely well to help those that are fleeing certain death. And the refugee program is very different than immigration, where we're attracting people to come and work here because we have lots of work. And we had a really interesting conversation with an immigration lawyer in Montreal.
Yes.
And I really want him on the show, Serge, because he's boots on the ground.
Yeah.
This is not news stories. None of this is dramatized. This is real life. What's really happening? But more importantly, how do you fix it? What are the suggestions? It's always easy to throw darts, right?
Yeah.
So absolutely. We'll have them on the show.
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up. I have to follow through on that one. I want to jump into the next news item. Indeed launches smart sourcing. Give you a little bit of the background behind it. So smart sourcing allows employers to source candidates from a large talent pool of nearly 300 million workers. Updated Indeed profile enhanced job seekers' ability to showcase skills and preference for personalized job recommendations. Then there is an AI matching engine that provides instant candidate recommendations based on job requirements. And then there is a redesigned Indeed profile that offers over 40,000 skill options and AI suggestions for profile enhancement. Shelley, I don't know much about this. I just saw it. I saw a lot of Indeed rep promoting this, and I saw a couple of articles on it. I do not know how different it is from what they offer right now with their resume product, which has AI and does some recommendations. How is this different? What I'm seeing, was that just beta in the past or?
Yeah, I will say hurrah, because the Indeed resume database search tool product really hadn't changed. I mean, I can't say this is a verified number, but it seems to me at least in the last 7 years. Okay. Right? You bought a resume database subscription. You could go in, build projects, do searches. When someone new came on, you'd be notified, but nothing really changed. So what did change is when you post a job directly on Indeed and you put a budget on it, you had this option for what's called matched candidates. And it was first brought out limited in 2022. For example, had a client, they posted housekeeper for Banff.
Okay.
And you post your job, put your budget on there, and then you had a limit up to 100 people you could invite to apply, which is matching, but you didn't have to do anything. So based on your job ad, it would go into their database, tell you how recently active this job seeker was. It would give you a match that their last three roles, job title was housekeeper, and you click a button and it invites them to apply. And you can track the fact that I invited these 50 people to apply and how many actually applied. So based on their recency, I don't know about you, but I don't think LinkedIn has a tool like this. And so now with the new product, the resume database, I think it's a bargain. Because once you post your job or go in and do a search, it will suggest people for you and create an AI message. So you basically can look at the template of the message and say, I want to zhuzh it up some more or not. So really, I think it's closer to a LinkedIn recruiter seat, only it's $200 a month. Like, seriously?
For $200 a month, you can't go really wrong if that's the pricing, right? The flip side. The flip side to it, there's a couple things that concern me. It's based on that matching and those types of recommendations that I've received like in the past little while. It's been so bad that I'm like, have they improved it in the last couple of months? There's no way that the response rates that are coming from these are high, because this is really, really hard. I don't think we realize how hard it is, because if you look at Indeed, say LinkedIn, Glassdoor, ZipRecruiter, any major job boards, they've all had major difficulties in doing that matching, and that recommendation engine has been weak. I don't think anyone has really stood out of the crowd of doing that well. So maybe this is it. And if it is, it's going to be a huge boon for Indeed. If it's not, it's going to fade away like most of the Indeed products that they try out. Not most, but a lot of them, right? They test a lot of stuff and a lot of stuff doesn't make it true. So we will see what happens in the next little while. In other news, Shelley, you remember Peter Lamson, who we interviewed at HR Tech? Really loved the guy. I thought he was great. Like, really like straightforward, really good, articulate.
Deep industry expertise.
Just got the announcement a day ago that Employ, who is the owner of Lever, Jazz, Jobvite, Next, so a bunch of companies, they've named a new CEO, and his name is Steve Cox. So Steve has been in senior leadership roles for almost 25 years. He's got a lot of experience with high growth organizations, but he has never been in the HR tech space, Shelley. So do you think you need to be in this space to be successful? What's your thoughts on this new appointment?
As a CEO, of course, we believe that you need industry experience.
Yeah. We're a little biased on that.
We are rather biased. Mm. However, industry experience doesn't necessarily qualify you to be a good CEO. You know, you stepping back and saying, like, what constitutes great leadership is not your industry experience. And sometimes bringing in someone who knows nothing about the industry, you got to give them a break, give 6 months to a year to understand the industry. They're also going to bring a perspective that may be the game changer.
Yeah.
Especially a company like Employ. They're super complex. We know they're complex because even as customers trying to figure out, am I better off with a Lever solution or
It's lever, right?
Lever. Is it lever or lever?
I don't know. I forget every time.
But we settled that already. At any rate, or am I a Jobvite customer? So those decisions are really tough because we've got a lot of affinity with those brands. My assumption is the board would look at someone like Steve, and we'll get a chance to interview him. I know we will. As someone who's going to bring in a fresh set of eyes. Because there's way too much emotion, I think, attached to all these different brands. Because even as an industry, we've often wondered, how's this going to work?
Yeah. So you made some very good points, and especially where employee is, there might be an opportunity for a different perspective that is not thinking of how all of us think in this industry. They might have some solutions to what's going on, because this is my personal thoughts on this. I'm a big fan of employee, but here's the challenge. I think all standalone ATS out there are in deep trouble. I think we're seeing definitely a different level of sophistication coming out with new platforms that do a whole lot more. I know we've talked about talent intelligence platforms, but the days of just a standalone ATS that just basically is a digital filing cabinet. And I love Jobvite. Jazz is a good product. Lever is a good product, and they do it really well. And there's been innovation.
Great.
But I think the market is trending away from those ATS. On the enterprise side, those ATS don't really stand a chance against a Workday, UKG's, Oracle Recruiting Cloud, even though they're horrible. True. This is where the Eightfold and the Phenoms can be a little, I guess, what do you call that? A layover?
Overlay.
Overlay. Layover. Well,
it's your French.
Exactly. They can be used as an overlay, right? I don't know. What's your feelings on ATS right now? I just feel it's like a dying business.
Wow. You've really got me thinking.
Yeah.
Honestly, like just listening to you really got me thinking. When I look around, how many TA leaders have taken the initiative to really look at standalone products? You've got to be really mad at your Workday solution, or if I may, your UltiPro solution too. You've got to be really mad to look at a standalone product. And you've also got to have almost like a suit of armor on, because you're going to be hit with the CIO grilling you on, no, we need products that are all from the same vendor. It's uniformity of data, and you've got to really know your stuff.
Yes.
And there's good reason. There's good logic on both sides of the equation.
There's still a business, right? And I'm not saying it's going to disappear, because there's a lot of SMBs, but I'm seeing SMBs going for a bamboo instead of a standalone ATS, even though the ATS is not as strong, right? If there was two businesses that I would not start today, I think an ATS or a job board would be the two that I'd be like, I don't know if I'd start that business. Not saying they're not viable, sustainable, long-term business that can
but
do really
start right now. Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
Start up. Like, because we've got players. So you think about Vizier. There's so many cool technology platforms that give you a lot more. So I guess we'll see. I think this is why they brought in a new CEO that's like with a digital background to see, okay, where do we go from here? Standalone, I'm not sure, but I guess we'll see. But anyways, aside from that, if employees listening, we are big fans, right? We're just putting a question out there, and I'm sure you made the right choice with Steve. And Steve, please come on the show. We want to talk to you about this. Shelly, do we want to jump? Oh, actually, before we jump, I saw a message from Joel Lalji talking about this new video button on LinkedIn. And the first thing I did was open my app, and there's no button on my LinkedIn for video. So I'm like, what is this? Basically, LinkedIn has confirmed that they are testing a new short form video feed similar to what TikTok has. So right now it is in beta. It's in early testing. Only super users like a Joel Lalji would have access to it, because I haven't seen really anyone else talk about it. I think this is interesting because video is becoming very dominant, especially short form video. And we're seeing some of the influencers in this industry really take their talents to TikTok, because they can grow an audience a whole lot quicker. You don't need an amount of followers with TikTok. If you can have one go viral and suddenly you've got millions of followers. Do you think this is a good idea by LinkedIn?
Can you just explain to me how this is any different than uploading any video? Like, even if you've got something that you did on, say, Instagram Reels,
yeah,
or YouTube Shorts, like, how is this any different other than maybe now you're forced to use their platform? I don't understand what's the big innovation here at all.
It's not very innovative because it's basically copying what's already been done there. So basically my understanding is there's a video button, right? When I press on a video, it's basically a feed of LinkedIn creators that their video is similar to. If, and I'm making assumptions, on TikTok, you can copy your video over to Reels if you want to. Yeah. You download it, then you bring it, then I'm assuming you're going to be able to do something similar, but like anything else, original content on LinkedIn is probably going to do better. So that's my understanding. It's basically a LinkedIn TikTok feed button that you press it similar as you press Reels. Okay. I don't know if it's going to be only people you follow or it's like an algorithm like TikTok, which I'd be a big fan if they did that instead of just the people you follow. So we will see. We will.
Can I make a prediction, Serge?
Yeah, please do.
I think HR is going to ban everybody from using LinkedIn, because if they're doing this TikTok thing, then somehow this is just another way to kill a few hours of your workday. Like, productivity just dropped if you're going to sit there and watch TikTok-ish videos on LinkedIn. But because it's LinkedIn, you're allowed to watch it at work. I mean, they're kind of late to the game, honestly. I don't see it going anywhere. Because if I'm going to do content creation, I'm going to do it in one place and share it on all different platforms.
Yeah, it's different audience in a lot of ways. So I would not do the same content for Facebook that I do for LinkedIn. They're different contents. Your prediction is probably right. So your prediction, this will probably fail. And not your prediction that HR will ban it, because if you think about how many actual people post on LinkedIn, and we think it's a lot of people, it's not. It's very tiny, right? And it's still going to be tiny, the amount of people that actually do this. I think there's potential value. Anytime that you copy something that is almost exactly the same, it's probably not going to work out, but I'm willing to see. I'm willing to test it out. I watch TikTok because it's highly entertaining and there's a variety of things. I'm not going to go on LinkedIn and get some motivational quotes or whatever the fuck about the time they hired a homeless person on the side of the street and he became their best person.
The CEO, yeah.
Right? Yeah, you know those stories. So
I do.
All right, Shelley, let's jump into the tip of the week.
Hey, your tip of the week is brought to you by Plum. Plum knows that when people flourish, businesses thrive. Using science-backed insights, Plum aligns human potential with job needs, allowing you to build high-performing teams from a single platform, ideal for improving hiring choices, identifying future leaders, and offering personalized career advice. Plum supports the entire employee journey from hire to retire. Discover more at plum.io. So my tip of the week is about interview questions. And I have this belief that the simpler the question, the more effective it is. So I want to share with the audience one of my favorite interview questions. So what I'm trying to assess is whether or not this candidate has big category. Let's just call it business acumen. And so I simply ask the candidate, how did the company that you work for last, how did they make money? You would be amazed at how many people do not understand how the company that they're working for actually makes money. So that's my tip of the week, is giving you the best interview question if you're looking to figure out if they have business acumen.
I love that question. When you sent me the guide last night and I was reading it, I was like, oh, that's a great question. Kudos. I love it. I am going to use that one.
Okay.
Shelley, let's jump into the recruiting insights, and it's brought to you by our friends at Mitova. Shelley, are you tired of the same old outsourcing woes?
Well, say hello to nearshoring. It's like outsourcing, but closer, and it won't make you pull your hair out.
Picture this. top-notch IT talent from Latin America.
Many Latin American IT professionals have strong English language skills and even live in the same time zone, so no more midnight conference calls. Hallelujah. Plus, Latin America's growing tech ecosystem, strong educational institutions, and a pool of skilled IT professionals make it the perfect region for recruiting talent.
I have the perfect company that does this. The company's name is Metova. They have local experts who handle everything from recruiting to HR support.
So why settle for the same old outsourcing blues when you can have the nearshoring party with Metova?
Look them up at metova.com and let's get the fiesta started. Shelley, do you want to jump on the first one?
Yes, I do. Because this is an article from theglobalrecruiter.com. Most of what's posted on there is UK and Europe based, a little bit of North America, but you know, it really is global. And so there was an article that the sentiment was the feeling that recruitment is still very much a boys club. And I'm like, say more about that. So it was a belief that to get a job in recruitment meant that you usually were referred in, and it's mostly men, which is really odd because that's not the feeling I've ever had. And I've been at it, let's just say, more than 20 years. But my sense is that it was done from maybe the staffing industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus HR. HR is very female dominated. We know that. We have the numbers. We have the receipts right here. 72.8% of all human resources people are
human recruiters.
These are HR recruiters. Yep. So what led me to conclude is that this must be a staffing industry phenomenon.
It is.
So staffing industry is typically 100% commission. Yeah. And stereotyping, but men may be a little more okay with the risk.
Yes.
What do you think?
So to your point, this was a survey that was done to staffing professionals, which makes a little bit more sense. Then I'm like, let me think about my experience because I worked in staffing and I work with a lot of recruiters and my team, I was the only dude. But then I think about all the staffing folks that I've dealt with when I was in a TA role. The majority of them were women. And I'm like, but did I do that on purpose too? Because that might be just the ones that I'm taking the meetings and the call. So that might be quite biased if I think about it and be real about it. So yeah, there's probably a good chance that I dealt only with women because I chose to. But then I was looking at...
figured out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. One of the things though I was looking at, so this survey was done with 11,000 LinkedIn followers that participated in the poll. 42% indicated that the boys club perception persists. Then I'm like, okay, how many women took this survey? Was it 40%? Because that might be just a perception, right? Okay, in their firm, they're working with mostly men. The other factor too, in all fairness, is even to this day, there's a great inequality of leaders that are men and women in our space, both on the internal and in staffing firms. A lot of time, you'll have a guy managing mostly a team of women. I don't know why it happens that way, but it's been the case in my experience. But the data is real. Like, it is not a boys club. 73% of recruiters are female.
HR recruiters, different than staffing industry.
Staffing, I tried to get the data and I could not get a breakdown of it. We will see. Shelley, I want to move on to the next recruiting insight. And this one was something that I was a little surprised to read. So our friend, I like to call him my friend, any billionaire, I like to call him my friend. So Mark Zuckerberg, who is the CEO of Meta, is personally emailing Google employees to recruit AI talent. That might not seem shocking to anyone, but it's a little shocking to me reading the history of the dot-com boom and the story of Steve Jobs and Bill Gates and how they took poaching so seriously. And there is a bunch of Steve Jobs emails printed out there when people were trying to poach, and he would approach their CEOs like, so are you telling me we can poach each other? Because if you do, the gates are open, watch out. And that scared a lot of people, right? When you have Steve Jobs coming and be like, I'm going to personally recruit your people if you don't stop doing this, I think put the halt to everything. But I don't think Mark cares. I think the talent and AI, there is so much scarcity that they're doing whatever they need, because if you look at where the dollars and the massive investment dollars are going to the companies that can actually build these AI tools, and obviously there's a race for that talent. Whoever's getting the talent is getting the dollars. If you are a small player in the AI space and getting that top talent, it's almost impossible because you do not have the capacity. You don't have the chips, which is the biggest competitive advantage of the OpenAIs, the Microsoft, the Google, the Metas, Apple, Amazon are in such a huge advantage because they actually have the computing power to be able to attract that talent. What was your take here? Surprised by it, Shelley?
I am, because as long as I've been in recruiting, which is a while, if you're going to start a war, you better be prepared because it will happen. And the ebb and flow of people versus mind your own backyard. There are so many smart people that already work for Zuckerberg. You mean to tell me that it's impossible to retrain these people? He just let a bunch of people go. Is it easier or is it can't be easier? Do you know what I mean? To just start poaching people from your biggest competitor.
If it wasn't easier, he wouldn't be doing it. And it goes to the conversation that we had as far as like the banks laying off thousands of people, then rehiring for the skill set they need. This is not a skill set that you can get in a year, right? Like these are people that have been working in this for potentially decades. And I know AI in our world, as far as a consumer known type of thing, has been the last couple of years. But man, there's been people working on large language models and AI in general for decades. And I think that's probably the experience and knowledge they need. I agree with you, but it's got to be easier to go recruit them than retraining their people that have internally. I'm going to make that assumption. It's got to. Why would they do it, right? Like to your point, why wouldn't they retrain people?
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a smart move.
I think it's probably smart because I think one of the things that he's doing here too with the layoffs and looking to bring in that talent, he's trying to increase his talent density, which is all the tech companies, especially when it comes to software, AI, like one really skilled one is the equivalent of 300 to 400. There's such a huge disparity between a great one and a mediocre one. But Shelley, on that note, talking about mediocre, how about you jump into the next recruiting insight?
I know you just cringed when you saw this, right? And let me set this up just a little in terms of why I wanted to talk about this. So the article was in personneltoday.com. And
I love that. I want to buy that domain, personnel. I want to bring back the personnel department.
The 1970s cult, they want their plaque.
I think it's coming back. It's coming back.
What's old is new. Okay.
Yeah.
So again, this article starts off with the biggest lie to the industry at large is that employers are using some sort of software to sift through applications that are rejecting you. So part of this statement is true, but it really ticked me off because it's so misleading. It says 90% of employers are using automated tracking software. That is true. 90% of employers do use an applicant tracking system of some sort, but they're saying that 90% of employers use it to sift through applications, even though most acknowledge that some of these systems vetted out qualified candidates. Okay, back up the bus here. 90% of employers using applicant tracking systems. Nobody can ever name a name here of what applicant tracking system has the sophistication to sift through the resumes for you.
Yeah.
They're knockout questions, or they make you fill in 11 screens of answering questions.
Yeah.
But that is not the system knocking anybody out.
No.
It just really ticks me off because it's not true. And it leaves the public and even most HR people who don't recruit on a daily basis or even know their applicant tracking system very well, it leaves them with this impression that there's some magic robot in the background sifting through resumes. Can't you just see it, Serge, like with their little electronic arms? The article then goes on to talk about the fact that young people, those that are looking for maybe their first or second job in the working world, are finding that the automation of recruitment has become humiliating and alienating for young people. I can see that. One-way video interviews are very alienating, if you ask me. You know I'm not a fan. Using purely technology to do the screening for you is interesting because I'm hearing the opposite, that most people feel, even if it's a chatbot, I'd rather have an answer than never know. So what I thought was interesting is they're feeling that it's humiliating and alienating only because they've never experienced anything else. If you are mid-career and you were the one who sent in 50 applications and was ghosted on 49 of them, this is a much better experience. They're saying it's terrible, but they got nothing to compare it to.
It's so funny because this always comes up when it comes to the ATS and the ATS sifting through resumes and ranking. And that is happening. So it is happening in a very small scale, right? Almost non-existent even to this current date. But in saying all of that, reading this article, Shelley, I was just like, shut up. Like a couple things that really annoyed me. Most job seekers were exposed to a process that taught them that the world doesn't care about them. I'm like, no shit. The world doesn't care about you. Have you not realized that? Like, you are not the center of the universe. People care about themselves first. So welcome to reality, first part. And then, this just blew me away. After months of searching, before they even started, it's the most dehumanizing process I ever encountered. And I once worked in a call center.
They chose to put in the article. I know. Wow.
I'll tell you. Oh. I moved to a new city. Had trouble finding a job, had tons of experience, was a senior leader where I was, couldn't find a job. You know what I did? I worked at a call center and I became really good at that job. Well, actually, no, I'm lying here. I wasn't that good, but I did it. And I did it to the best of my abilities.
Is it humiliating?
No, not at all. You know what's humiliating? Not being able to pay your bills. That's like really tough. But going and saying it's like I worked in a call center, I thought those were the types of jobs you get after college. Where have we set the expectation with the younger generation that, yeah, you're going to have to do jobs that you're not going to like? Your marketing degree, guess what? There's a million other people that got their marketing degrees. Yeah, you might not become the CMO first week. Putting that aside, Shelley, and I'll close it off with this. The generation that's going through this has never really gone through a recession. The job market has always been hot. They've had the upper hand. And unfortunately, that's not the case anymore. So I feel for them in a way. But the flip side to it is, how do you differentiate yourself? How do you do things that are going to put you in a different bucket when it comes to people they want to interview and hire? How do you make those skills better? And that's on you, right? But you think about it, what would be so bad to go work in a call center, kill it, become the manager, then eventually become the operations manager, then the VP, then you go VP at another company because you have that experience. You're not getting a director. You're not getting a manager role. You're not getting a VP role straight out of college. Suck it up, buttercup, right? Stop complaining about dehumanizing. And I get it. Yeah, you're applying for jobs. You don't hear anything back, but you know what? That's reality. On that note, that's all I have to say, Shelley. You want to add to that, or am I just being like a cranky old man?
No, I think we're saying essentially the same thing. I'm saying they've got nothing to compare it to.
Yes.
Even if you have been automatically rejected, chances are you weren't qualified, right?
Because it's not chances are, it's you weren't qualified.
You weren't. Yeah, you are being rejected because you weren't qualified. And even if it's your perception that it's a piece of software, and they cite the Harvard study, I'm not disagreeing, Serge. I think there is a reality that you're not qualified for most of the jobs you're applying for.
Yeah.
And yes, it's frustrating. And I know you believe in your head, well, anybody can do that job. And I think it was solidified by the quote that they decided to use of, and I've worked in a call center. Hold on a minute. It actually takes a lot of skill. That for me was the nail in the coffin.
On that note, Shelley, another fun episode of the Recruitment Flex. We've got a couple events coming up quickly. So TA Tech in June, Unleash in May. Then we've got a fun Plum event coming up as well. And if you want to book us for anything, reach out to me personally and I will make it happen. Shelley, on that note, enjoy your mini vacation because you'll be away for a couple of weeks, right?
One week.
Okay. I want you to be away a couple of weeks, but
thank you enjoy. So much. Thank you. Au revoir.
Shelley, let's face it. Texting candidates is the easiest way to hire quicker today. But your cell phone doesn't connect to your ATS. You're sharing your personal number with strangers. That's pretty scary, right, Shelley? And it's not even legally compliant.
This is where our friends at RecTex come in. They've created simple yet powerful text recruiting software that works with your ATS. Plus, it's designed by recruiters for recruiters, so you know it works. To learn more and book a demo, visit www.rectxt.com, mention the Recruitment Flex, and get 10% off annual plans.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.